Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
We're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching.
Well, hello, and welcome back to another edition of the Geocaching Podcast. I want to apologize first to all of you who came to hear I Am Frog 2002. He was supposed to be interviewed on the podcast today, but he got sick. He IM'd me today and said, I have a cold, and therefore I will not be able to do the interview, which is it's a shame. So I'm going to be flying solo here tonight, no interview. A few things on our list, though, we would like to talk about. We have a review of the Magellan Crossover GPS we're going to talk about. And what else are we going to do? We're going to talk about cache placement and just stupid cache placement. There are a lot of caches that are getting on the news because bomb squads have to come in and blow them up. So we're going to talk about that and look forward to next week seeing talking to a guy about the Utah Parks Department placing geocaches for profit, basically, and they're allowed to do that. So tune in next week. As you guys know, this podcast is aired live on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So if you'd want to join us, that'd be great. You can go to talkshoe.com, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can text, chat with other listeners. You can call in and be live on the podcast. So I would encourage you guys to do that, and so we can get some more feedback and some more listener participation. Okay, so to that Magellan Crossover GPS that I was talking about, what is it? Well, the cool thing about the Crossover GPS is it's unique because it not only provides top-of-the-line automotive capabilities, so you can place it in your car and you get turn-by-turn directions and all the good stuff like that, but it's also capable for doing outside stuff like campers and hikers and hunters and geocachers like ourselves. So that's the unique thing about it, is it's both a automotive GPS and a GPS that can be used outside. And it also has the option of BlueNav marine cartography charts too. So it can even function as a marine GPS. The cool thing about it is it's 4.3 by 3.4 inches, and it only weighs in at about 8.5 ounces. So it's fairly light and fairly small. It features a 3.5-inch non-reflective screen that's fairly decent, even visible, even in bright sunlight. So even if you're outside geocaching in the sun, you can usually see the display. So that's a good thing. So you'll be able to find your caches, and even if it's sunny in your car, you'll still be able to see the screen. The street level detail maps from NavTech are preloaded for all 50 states, Canada, and Puerto Rico. There's topographic maps for 48 continental states, and those are preloaded too for the outdoor mode as opposed to the indoor mode. And you can also get a more detailed topographic maps between $129 and $149, depending on the region that you want to get those topographic maps for. The marine maps and the topographic maps that you buy are supplied on an SD card. The Crossover GPS has an SD input, and it also can play music or view pictures from its SD slot. So not only can you use it for geocaching, but you can also have this podcast in there when you're out hunting geocaches, or also put your pictures from your cast from your geocaching experiences on it. So that's pretty cool. All of the standard data that is on the GPS resides on a built-in 4-gig hard drive. 4 gigs. That's huge for a GPS. I know the GPS that I have is an eTrex Legend, and yeah, no hard drive in there. But I suppose if you're going to have pictures and music and all sorts of maps down there, you're going to need a 4-gig hard drive. But Magellan claims that the unit's battery, even though it has a 4-gig hard drive in it, the battery life on it is up to 8 hours, so it's decent. It's not going to leave you high and dry while you're geocaching or driving, you'll be able to be able to do all your sport in 8 hours, hopefully. When you first power up the crossover, it has the main screen, and the icons are for vehicle navigation, marine, and outdoor. There are also icons for system settings such as volume, brightness, and time zone, music, and photos. And there's obviously a battery status thing that you can see how much your battery life is left. After entering the vehicle navigation, there's a menu that has a bunch of options, and there's 11 top-level menu items. They use a flat menu rather than a layered menu system. So there's 11 items, top-level items, two screens that are grouped logically with the items most likely to be used for the first screen, map, street address, point of interest, and home address book, and intersection. A second page has entries for the trip counter, trip planner, enhanced POI regions, and options, and other preferences and stuff like that. So all the input is done on this GPS through a touch screen. So it's kind of like the iPhone in that respect, as it has a touch screen. The connectors for the USB, the headphones, the power, and the SD card are all, they're covered with a rubberized mold sensors, and it also has an optional traffic receiver, so that's cool. So when you're driving, say you're driving in a heavily dense area and you want to find the traffic, it has an optional unit that you can hook to that too. So what else we got here? The outdoor mode, which is what we'd be using for geocaching, is a main menu, and it has entries for map, base camp, trip planner, tracks, waypoints, search. And the second screen on that outdoor mode is access to a trip computer, options, compasses, and maps and stuff like that. And it has icons for zooming in and out and adjusting the screen brightness, marking your current location as a waypoint. You can also record and save tracks for future use, view them on a map, choose to follow them, or even select the reverse map so you can get back to where you parked your car at in case you get lost in the forest. So overall, I would definitely say that this is a GPS that's an awesome, awesome, awesome unit for uses in geocaching. We give it a great, perfect.
Great!
We give it a great status for the GPS. It has everything a geocacher would want. It has driving mode for driving, so if you're doing all the sorts of planning high finds in a day, it's got that. It's got stuff to actually get you to the geocache. You can listen to podcasts on the way with it. You can watch your pictures, do all that good stuff like that. So it's overall definitely an awesome unit for doing geocaching with. So yeah, definitely I would go check it out. The price on it is about $549. So you'll have to shell out a lot of cash for it, but it looks like it'd be definitely worth it. So next thing up on the geocaching podcast today, we're going to talk a little bit about placing caches to just being smart when placing caches. I know that some of you listening to the podcast here have never placed caches. You've only found caches, but we want to talk a little bit about the smart placing of the caches. If you have anything that you want to say about this, and you're listening to this offline, if you're listening to it recorded on your iPod, you can call in to our voicemail number, which is 206-350-3GPS. That's 206-350-3477. You can leave us a message there, or you can go to our show notes at geocachingpodcast.blogspot.com. That's geocaching podcast.blogspot.com. You can leave us messages there, or you can leave a message on our MyChingo applet there. Or you can even shoot us an email at xpunkx1@gmail, xpunkx1@gmail.com, and we'll answer your questions on the show, and we'll try to dig more into that. We'll talk. You can leave us some messages about your feelings on smart and safe GPS planning. planting. So also remember, if you're not a subscriber of this podcast, please subscribe to this podcast. If you go to the geocachingpodcast.blogspot.com, you'll find the feeds for this so you can place it in your iTunes. You'll get every episode as they're published, so you don't even need to come back. But if you want to participate and give us a call live, or you can even listen live, like I said earlier, it's Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So let's get on with the show here and talk a little bit more about safe planting. We've seen a lot of GPSs or geocaches in the news lately with being blown up by bomb squads, stuff like that, because they're just dumb placings. People are putting them under bridges that in containers that are plastic pipes. Come on, guys, that looks like a pipe bomb. This is not about how many caches you can place. It's about placing smart caches. Place caches that you're not going to get blown up by the bomb squad. Place caches that don't look like bombs. Don't place them downtown under something that looks like a bomb. It's just stupid. Caching is about having fun and having a good sport. And if your cache is going to get picked up by the bomb squad, that says nothing good about geocaching. Nothing good about geocaching. So what can we do to place smart caches? I know that this has been talked about several times in the forums, but what can we do is place smart caches first. Get the permission of the landowner. Obviously, if you're placing a cache that looks like a bomb, you've probably not talked to the landowner. That's real simple to do if you're going to place it in a park. If it's a county park, talk to the county parks department. If it's a city park, talk to the city parks department. If you can't find a land manager for whoever's land it is, don't place the cache. You need to place the cache with permission of the landowner. That's basic. That's what geocaching.com says is one of the rules. You need to get permission from the landowner. I don't know why we're placing caches out there that aren't being asked by the landowner if they can be placed. Second thing, it's real, real vital. Just use a smart container that's clearly labeled geocaching. This is a geocache. Use a sticker if you want. You can buy those from geocaching.com, or you can make your own sticker up. But make sure it's labeled on the outside. Make sure that label says clearly that it's a geocache. Also, like I said, make sure your container is not look like a bomb. Don't place it in a plastic PVC pipe with wires hanging out of it. I would even say if it's in a park, and a lot of park departments have rules about this, it needs to be in a clear container. Put it in a clear container so you can see what's inside of it. If it's a clear container, you're going to see that there's McDonald's trinkets. You're going to see that there's, you know, a logbook. You're going to see that there's not anything dangerous in there. So that's the second thing that you can do to keep the things from just looking like a bomb. Another thing is, like I said, make sure the landowners know. If you have to get permission of the police, go to the police, tell them that this is a geocache. Make sure it's not on private property that the people don't know it's not there. So that's one of the things that you can do to make sure that your geocache is not brought and blown up by the bomb squad. So yeah, let us know what you think about this. What's your ideas as far as making them better, better geocaches that don't look like bombs? Call 206-350-ANDY or 206-350-3GPS, 206-350-3GPS. Leave us a message there. Shoot us an email. Let us know what you think can be done to not make things look like a bomb. So, anyways, that's my rant and rave, because we don't want to get things blown up by the police and bomb squad. We want to make people aware of geocaching. So, hey, just do that. Remember to visit our show notes for this podcast at geocachingpodcast.blogspot.com. You'll find all the links to the show notes and stuff. I was going to open up the forum here, open up the phone lines, but I don't see anyone calling in, so I can't open up the phone lines here. So, hey, if you're if you're listening to this, like I said, not live, if you're listening to it on your GPS, you could do that if you had the crossover. But if you're listening to it on your iPod, give us a call. Make sure to join us Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to leave the forum open here for a little bit, so in case anyone decides to join, we can talk a little bit more about our topics today. But I'm going to go ahead and end the recording now. So thanks again for joining us for this geocaching podcast. See you next week at the regular time, Saturdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah.